Welcome to Matt's Notes. The video you're about to watch was first published on my Freedom in the Cross Ministries YouTube channel, which was a channel dedicated to teaching people how to experience freedom from sin. Because I've since decided to cover a broader range of topics, I've changed the name of the channel to Matt's Notes. So, when you hear me talking about Freedom in the Cross Ministries in the video, now you'll understand why. Hello and welcome to Freedom in the Cross Ministries. In this video, I'm going to be giving you my personal testimony of how Jesus delivered me from my pornography addiction over 5 years ago. And I've been 100% free from that addiction ever since. The way this video is going to be organized is first I'm going to talk about how I was born again, when it happened, because I think that's an important part of the story. Then I'm going to talk about my struggle over the next 11 years to overcome my pornography addiction and all the things I tried that didn't work. And then I'm going to talk about what actually worked, what God actually showed me that has borne fruit in my life and delivered me from the power of sin. Not sinless perfection, but walking in a place where sin doesn't have dominion over me. I'm progressing. I'm being conformed into the image of Christ. And if you're new here, this is Freedom in the Cross Ministries. The whole purpose of this channel is for me to share with you the things that help me overcome sin in my own life. So this is a Bible teaching channel, but I'm teaching you the things in the Bible that Jesus was speaking of when he said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that truth, in short, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you know and understand and abide in the truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified, you can be free from the power of sin. So if you need teaching like that, if that interests you, I encourage you to subscribe to this channel. And if you want to skip ahead in the video, you don't want to hear the whole story, check the comments in YouTube for the chapters and you can skip ahead to the parts as I have them labeled. So getting right into the story, I grew up in an Assembly of God church in Kansas. And despite the fact of going to church pretty much every Sunday, I never got saved growing up in church. I said the sinner's prayer, I went up to the altar and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, but basically I was just trying to escape hell. I didn't really believe it in my heart. Even in my head, I believed it, but I never really understood the gospel in my heart. And I don't blame my church. It's not like I was reading the Bible. It's not like I was searching. I just got drugged there by my parents on Sunday and heard, hey, come say this prayer and you won't go to hell. And so I tried that, but it never really produced a change in my life. The Holy Spirit never really came to live in my heart. So back in 2001, I guess it was, when I first went to college, I majored in justice studies. And a lot of the classes I was taking in the justice studies program had to do with, I remember one of them was called The Philosophy of Justice. And we would talk a lot about God and the Bible in those classes because the professor was asking us to basically consider, explore, and discuss what the Bible has to do with justice and morality. And I remember there was only maybe me and one or two other people that were actually defending the existence of God and the truth of the Bible. And that was actually a shock to me. I never really experienced that where so many people didn't believe in God and didn't trust in what the Bible had to say about who God is and who Jesus is. And so taking all kinds of classes like this, I began to doubt my own beliefs. I realized that I only believed what I believed because it was what I'd been taught growing up. I realized that my faith in the Bible was just no further than what my parents told me. And so I really started to question things. Because of this questioning, I started to dig into things a little bit deeper myself. I would have conversations with my mom asking her about God and things like that, and she would always encourage me to come to God. You must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I was seeking God, trying to understand whether he really existed, whether Jesus was really his son. So I read a book called The Case for Faith, written by Lee Strobel. And after reading that book, I became convinced, all right, I believe there's a creator. I believe there's a God. This universe couldn't have just created itself. It's too statistically unlikely and just doesn't even pass the common sense test. We have a creation. So there must be a creator. And there was a lot of other good arguments in that book, and I accepted those. I said, okay, I believe that there's a God. But then my next question was, is Jesus really the Son of God? And I realized, okay, that's another question that has to be answered. Just because you believe that there's a creator doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus was actually the Son of God. And so I started to read another book by Lee Strobel called The Case for Christ. And they've actually made a movie about that book now. I read it back before there was even a movie. And I became convinced from that book, okay, Jesus must have really been a real historical person. He was obviously crucified. And I even believe that he must have rose from the dead. But what I started to realize was, even though I was accepting these facts, what I realized is the proof that Jesus is really still alive today and wants to have a relationship with me was that I actually have a relationship with him. And I realized that I had no relationship with Jesus. I wanted a relationship with God. I wanted to know Jesus, but I didn't know him in my heart. I just had this mental assent to the Bible and what it said about Jesus. And so I just began to seek God in his word and ask him to reveal himself to me and ask me to show me whether Jesus was his son. Ask him to speak to my heart. I had read somewhere where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they know the sound of it." And so I was like, I have not heard his voice. I don't know the sound of Jesus' voice. And I would put on that song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." And I would just play that on loop and I would just sing it and cry out to God, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, speak to me, reveal yourself to me." And it was a period of months of just crying out to God in prayer, seeking him and reading the New Testament, seeing if he would reveal himself to me in his word, and also just examining the New Testament for myself to see what I thought about it and what I believed. And I remember as I was praying to God, asking him to reveal himself to me, I always had this thought in the back of my mind that if he revealed himself to me, that he would come and tell me what his plan for my life was. Back then, obviously in college, I really wanted to know God's plan for my life. And growing up, my mom had always told me that God had spoke to her when I was a baby and said that he had an important plan for my life. And I'm sure, not to say he doesn't have an important plan for everyone's life, but I received that from my mother. It was something that was in my thoughts and in my heart and in my prayers. And so I was asking God that. And I thought that that's what he would come and tell me. But I just remember one day in my room in college by myself on my bed praying. And all of a sudden there was just this presence there and God spoke to my heart. And he didn't tell me his plan for my life. He just spoke three words. "I love you." And that just broke my heart. And as he spoke it, and it wasn't an audible voice, it was just this sudden knowing in my heart that God loved me. And through it, he opened up the gospel to me, made it come alive to me in my heart. I was seeing that through Jesus' death on the cross, through his sacrifice for me, that God loved me. And I was just overwhelmed by that. He didn't, of all the things he could have told me, he could have come and told me his plan for my life, but the first thing he spoke to me was just, "I love you." And that's when I was born again. That's when the Holy Spirit come into my heart and opened the gospel to me for the first time, made it come alive. And I didn't just believe in my head. I just didn't have a mental assent, but I believed in my heart. And I probably just cried for about 30 minutes straight after that, just at this knowledge of the realness of God, the presence of God, and experiencing his voice speaking to my heart. The Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He speaks to us in a still, small voice, and that's the best way I can describe it. It was just this sudden knowing where everything I'd been reading about Jesus in the Bible came alive to me. And after that experience, I had a whole different outlook on life. Before that, like a lot of people in college, I was there to party. I was drinking a lot. I was chasing women. I had a cussing problem my whole life from the time I was a little kid. And I had an issue watching pornography. And after I was born again, for about the first 3 months, I just felt this freedom from those things that I'd never felt before. I just didn't want those things anymore. They lost their pull on me, and I wanted to live for God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He speaks to us in a still, small voice, and that's the best way I can describe it. It was just this sudden knowing where everything I'd been reading about Jesus in the Bible came alive to me. And after that experience, I had a whole different outlook on life. Before that, like a lot of people in college, I was there to party. I was drinking a lot. I was chasing women. I had a cussing problem my whole life from the time I was a little kid. And I had an issue watching pornography. And after I was born again, for about the first 3 months, I just felt this freedom from those things that I'd never felt before. I just didn't want those things anymore. They lost their pull on me, and I wanted to live for God. I wanted to live for Jesus. I wanted to live a changed life. But after about 3 months, I became very strongly tempted to watch pornography again. I don't remember exactly how I responded to it, but I just know that I didn't know how to deal with temptation at the time, and I fought it for a while. But eventually, I gave into it. And giving into it set me on this downward spiral. I had went and gotten water baptized. I had begun to go to a local church there and started to get connected. But after this, I started to pull away from church. I started to fall back into my old ways. I just felt this guilt and condemnation and this distance between God and me. And I would still go to church. I didn't quit going altogether. Fortunately, somebody had told me that the best place for someone who's struggling with sin is in church. So I would be out drinking sometimes on Saturday night, and I would go to church even hungover at times. But I just knew I need to be in church. I need to be there so I can get help with this. And I even confessed to my pastor at one point that I was struggling with pornography, and he prayed with me, and he tried to minister some things to me that at the time, they just didn't have any effect on me at the time. Either I didn't understand them, or he wasn't telling me the things that could actually help. But I just slowly and slowly started to drift further and further back into my sin. So that was in 2005 when I got born again. In 2006, I graduated college and I got commissioned into the Army as a second lieutenant. And the first place I got sent was Fort Gordon, Georgia for my officer basic course. And in officer basic course, I was a total hooligan, drinking like crazy, chasing women. And at the same time, I volunteered to lead a Bible study there. So I was just living this double life. I had this desire to live for God, but when it came down to it, I just couldn't resist these other urges that were in me. I couldn't defeat sin in my life. I couldn't resist the temptation. After OBC, I got stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I got hooked up with a group there called Officers Christian Fellowship. And they would have a Bible study every Friday night. And so I started going to that Bible study, and that really had an effect on me in terms of changing my overall lifestyle. It gave me something to do on the weekend where I was hanging out with other Christians and enjoying myself and having a fun activity to do that wasn't going out drinking. But I still was drinking on the side, but it just got me moving in the right direction a little bit. And after a while, I just started to get tired of all the drinking. In college, I'm ashamed to say that I drove drunk more times than I ever should have, which obviously one is too much, but I drove drunk on multiple occasions. And in the Army, that's obviously highly discouraged. You can lose your whole career over that. And so when I would go drink, I would call a cab then, and I just got sick of doing that. I got sick of the drinking lifestyle, and I started to leave that behind. And also, while I was there at Fort Bragg, I met my wife. We were friends for about the first 3-4 years of our relationship. So we became friends through being in the same unit together, and then we were going to the Officers Christian Fellowship together. And I remember we started going to this church together there, and I was really starting to make a change. I was starting to put off these old things in my life and try to live for God. And I remember all throughout this, I was trying to figure out how to live for God. I was trying to defeat the sin in my life. And I just didn't know how to do it. And being a new Christian, I thought, okay, I need to stop watching all these things that I'm watching on TV that are corrupting my mind, and I need to watch Christian television. And at the time, the major Christian television was TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. So I would be watching TBN, watching Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes. I was reading their books, trying to implement the things that they were teaching about how to live a victorious Christian life. And those things just weren't working for me. No matter how many times I tried them, no matter how much effort I put into it, no matter how much willpower, I just couldn't overcome sin through those things. They didn't bring me to a place of victory. And so I started going to this church at Fort Bragg, and my wife and I, friends at the time, we started going to a new believers class there. And the teacher of the new believers class, the things he was teaching, we thought were really revelational. We thought they were really eye-opening, like we were finally understanding some things about the Bible that we never understood before. And I stayed after and asked him at one point, what are some books I can read that will teach me some of these same things so I can have a better understanding? And he pointed me to Kenneth Hagin. And for those of you who don't know, Kenneth Hagin is basically the father of the Word of Faith movement. And at the time, I didn't even know what the Word of Faith movement was. I heard that term every now and then, but really didn't know much about it. And I didn't even really realize that Creflo Dollar is one of the popular figures in the Word of Faith movement too. But so I started to read these Kenneth Hagin books, and I was still reading the Creflo Dollar books, and I was trying to put the things that they were teaching into these books into practice. And I'm not going to go in depth on it. Obviously, there's entire books on it. But basically, my understanding of what I needed to do from their teaching to be able to walk in victory over sin and set aside this pornography addiction was that I needed to starve my flesh and feed my spirit in Word of Faith. And I'm no longer in Word of Faith. I don't believe it's true. But in Word of Faith, they teach that we have a perfect spirit, that we have a corrupt flesh, and they basically limit the definition of flesh to the body, from what I've ever heard of them, and that we have a soul that needs to be sanctified. And the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And it's at the soul level where we decide what we're going to feed on. And if we feed on the world and the things of the world and the things that give provision to the flesh, then we'll be living in the flesh and we'll live dominated by sin. But if we feed our spirit, the Word of God, and spiritual things, then our spirit will be built up, and that's walking in the Spirit, and now we'll be able to walk in victory over sin. And so basically I needed to stop watching secular television, stop listening to secular music, unless it was just benign stuff, but if it was putting any kind of corruptive ideas or words into my mind, then I was going to let those get down into me, and it was going to make provision for the flesh, and I would fall into temptation and be overcome by sin. So I would, for months at a time, I would just totally shut off everything else, and I'd be watching Christian television, I'd be reading Christian books, going to church, praying, reading my Bible, implementing everything they said to do. And I remember Creflo Dollar, one of his big things at the time. I've noticed some changes in his ministry. He might have moved away from this now. But at the time, and here's one of the reasons I trusted him, because he's always talking about, you got to go to the Word. It's all about the Word of God. And of course, that's right, but it's not right in the way that he says it. And I'll explain that later. But he says, you got to go find the Word that applies to your situation, and you have to speak it out loud. That's a big thing in Word of Faith, because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that includes hearing sermons, but it'll also help me in my walk if I hear myself saying the Word out loud. That's what they teach. I don't think that's what that verse means anymore, and I'll talk about that later as well. But so I got all these verses. I had like 3 different pages, and I printed out every verse that had to do with sexual morality, sexual purity, sexual immorality. And I would get up every morning and read every one of these out loud. And doing all these things would work for a time. I could maybe go like 3 months without watching pornography. But just eventually, in a moment of weakness, I would fall back into it. And a lot of times it would be on a day when I didn't get up and do that. I had to get up early for the army or some other reason. I was too tired. hungover from the night before, if I had fallen back into that. I don't think that happened very many times, just because when I was in those moments, I was avoiding alcohol as well. But those things just never worked for me. And I remember at one point also, because I became convinced somewhere that the words of Jesus in the four Gospels had some kind of special power. So I would get up and read out loud Matthew 5 through 7 every single morning, the Sermon on the Mount. And those things just never really worked for me to give me any victory. And I also tried reaching out other places, reading other books, looking on the internet, and figuring out what people were saying to give me victory over sin, how to overcome this pornography addiction. At one point, I remember reading a book called Every Man's Battle. And I don't totally remember the content of that book now, it's been a while. But the main thing I remember from it, they quoted a verse, I think it was from Job, talking about having a covenant with your eyes and not looking upon a woman in lust. And it was all about how I need to avoid these triggers in my life that will lead to the pornography watching. So I need to watch out for anything on TV, including the commercials where I might see a woman dress promiscuously, or even avoid real life situations where I'm seeing women that are going to trigger that lust in me. Obviously, avoiding magazines, television shows, anything, and just even when I'm around women, controlling where my eyes were. And so I tried to put that in effect, and it just never really gave me the victory. I would always eventually, even after a time of victory, fall back into temptation. I remember hearing sermons on looking to the cross and how looking to the cross was the answer. And the way I understood that at the time was I was trying to visualize Jesus on the cross, visualize him suffering and dying for my sins. And I thought that if I visualized that, it would give me the motivation to stop watching pornography, because here I am, Jesus died for me, and now I'm continuing to live in sin. He died for my sin, and what a shame it is for me to continue and live in sin. But that never really worked either. You also hear about fleeing the situation. So when I would get tempted, I would try to leave my house and go do something else. I would try to start praying, start reading the Bible to get my mind off of it. And that might work for the moment, but eventually it would always catch up to me. It would always catch me in a time when I couldn't physically flee. And yes, we should flee, but not physically. We flee and hide behind the finished work of the cross, which I'll talk about later. But physically fleeing never did anything for me. I tried taking authority over it in Jesus' name. That's something you hear a lot, and that never really worked for me. People talk a lot about how being open about is important, not keeping it in secret. So I confessed it to people. The church I was going to at a time, I confessed it to one of the pastors there. I had already confessed it to a pastor before. And that just didn't really bring the victory. And one of the other things I heard was that the more you get involved in church, it'll just change the mode of your life and you'll not want to do these things anymore. So I volunteered to help at the church. And that's actually when I ended up confessing it to the pastor, because he was interviewing me to see if I was qualified to help out with some things. And I think I just volunteered to do manual labor. And I told him I was addicted to pornography. And I remember he actually didn't want me to do the manual labor anymore. He thought I needed some counseling with that first. So that wasn't a good experience for me. Another thing I tried was I bought this, and this was towards the end, I bought this bracelet that said Man of God on it. And the whole idea behind that was that if I kept this bracelet on me, it would be a reminder that I'm in covenant with Jesus. And I had heard teachings that watching pornography, looking upon a woman to lust, is adultery against Jesus or any kind of sin. And so I saw this as, in a certain sense, as a member of the church, I'm in the body of Christ and Jesus is the bridegroom. So I'm going to wear this to remember that I'm married to Jesus. And I remember one of the most shameful moments in my whole life was watching pornography and having that bracelet sitting on the desk next to me. And that was towards the end. That was something that worked for me for a while. So I was really ashamed when I fell back into that. A couple of the other things, I used to read a lot of books by John Bevere. And he talked about drawing near to God and cultivating your relationship with him to basically grow your love for him. And the more time you spend with him in prayer, in his word, in church, the more you'll grow to love him, and then this love that you have for him will be stronger than your desire to watch pornography. So I tried to do that. I was always spending time in the word, spending time in prayer, asking Jesus, help me love you more. And I just never found victory through that either. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. Oh, people talk about just thinking more about the women that you're watching. Realize that they're real people. Realize the damage that's being done in their life because of this pornography. Have compassion towards them. And it'll change the way you view pornography, and you won't want to watch it anymore because you realize the harm that's being done. And that was another thing that just never worked for me. I remember when I got engaged to my wife, I told myself I was never going to watch pornography again because Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust for her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And so when I got engaged, I didn't want to be cheating on my new fiance. And so I decided I'm not going to watch pornography anymore, but I'm ashamed to say that I didn't stick to that decision. And then after I got married, I tried to add some renewed commitment to that. And I didn't want to be cheating on my wife. This is so wrong looking at these other women. Here I am, a married man, and I'm looking at these other women. Such a shameful thing to do. And I didn't stick to that either. I just continued this vicious cycle of trying different things, putting in more effort, more time in the Bible, more time in prayer, getting up earlier, trying this, trying that, read this book, read that book. And it was just this constant vicious cycle of sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting. And when I first got saved, I had such a fire and love for Jesus. I felt so close to him. I was on fire for God. I was telling people about him, witnessing for him. He was moving in my life in that way. And over the years, this vicious cycle of sinning and repenting and not knowing how to overcome the pornography addiction or the other things that were creeping up in my life, the cussing, the anger, I had a gambling problem back then. And I know a lot of people would say there's no fruit in your life. You must not have even been born again then. But just understand that even though God has done a work on you in the inside, you still have a law of sin in your members warring against you. And if you don't know how to walk in the Spirit, that law of sin that's in your flesh will reign over you and put you in this vicious cycle of defeated Christian living. And so that's what I was in for 11 years, just this cycle of doing all the wrong things, trying all the wrong things, believing the wrong things. And speaking of that, that's another thing I always heard a lot. You hear it in the Word of Faith circles, but also other circles. Your beliefs determine your actions. Been a while since I heard it, but basically everything flows out of your beliefs. Your beliefs determine your words, determine your actions, which determine your daily decisions, and then those determine your lifestyle. So, all right, I need to change something about my beliefs. And I thought what I needed to change was like my view of pornography. And of course I did. I had a horrible view of pornography, but I couldn't just change that. I couldn't just overcome this law of sin in my members just by trying to think about pornography differently. And so it just went on and on for 11 years, this vicious cycle. And especially after I got married, I began to become very depressed from this. Just the shame that was on me that I kept doing this. And it was something that I tried and tried to quit doing, and I just never found the power to quit doing it. And I would hear these testimonies of people who had been set free from drugs and alcohol and pornography and whatever it was. And I just thought, God, why won't you do this for me? And of course, I prayed 1,000 times, God, please show me the truth that you talked about that would make me free. Please take this addiction away from me. Please help me to love you more. Please give me power over this. Please show me what I need to do. And just years and years of trying all these things and crying out to God and not finding the victory, it got me to a very low point in my life. And it got to a point where I could hardly even pray anymore out loud because I was just so defeated and depressed and condemned. I would go to church and I got to a point where I couldn't lift my hands. I couldn't even sing the songs anymore. Sometimes everybody else would be standing up singing and I would just be sitting down, depressed and defeated. And my heart's cry to God just became, Lord, please don't leave me this way. I couldn't even say the words out loud. I would just cry to him in my heart, Lord, please don't leave me this way. And all those times I thought that he was not answering my prayers, he was answering those prayers. He was leading me down a path of coming to the end of myself so he could show me that there's victory in Jesus. And so getting on with the story, me and my wife got out of the Army in 2014. We moved up here to the Western New York area, and we started going to a Word of Faith church. And it was about 30 or 40 minutes away. And it was in this church a lot of times where I was just experiencing this depression, this defeat. And a lot of times throughout my Christian life, going to church and in the worship and knowing the grace of God and knowing that even though I kept falling into this sin, God would be there speaking to me, telling me that I was forgiven by the blood of Jesus. But just this inability to find any practical victory was just weighing me down. And so me and my wife decided after a while we wanted to try a different church. We wanted to go to a church that was a little bit closer than where we lived. And I ended up finding this church late at night on a Saturday night. And I remember on their website, there was something about how the cross is a double cure. It's not only through the cross that we get saved, but it's also how we live saved and walk in victory. And so that intrigued me. And also the church just happened to be at the time having services in a hotel conference room where me and my wife had actually come up here and we actually got married and had our reception right in that conference room. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. We could actually be going to church in the same place where we got married. So we went to the church and tried it out and we liked it. We liked the worship. The people there were very nice to us. It was much smaller. We'd always been going to the big mega churches. This was a much smaller church. And the pastor was all about Jesus. So we decided to start going there and started to try it out. And especially remembering like the first 3 months of going there, it was this period where I was just not finding any victory over pornography. And I remember in this church, I would just be sitting there depressed, couldn't sing the songs, could hardly pray. But I just knew we needed to keep going to church. I needed to hear something that would teach me whatever it was I didn't know about walking in victory. I knew the answer was in the Bible. I knew that through the Bible, I could find victory over my sin. And so after about 3 months of going there, just living in this depressed state, I remember very specifically, it was May 8th, 2016 on a Mother's Day. We got to church and I remember seeing in the bulletin, the title of the message for that day was How to Have Victory Over Sin. And I was very intrigued by the title of that message. And so I was paying extra attention in the service that day. And the pastor at that church, I remember in the beginning of the message, he was telling me a lot of things that I'd already heard before. I'd read in books and heard other people talk about. He was talking about how grace is not only God's forgiveness, but it's also his enabling power. And grace can enable us to walk in victory over sin. And he talked about Galatians 5:16, which says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he's telling me these things that I've heard before. And because I wanted an answer so bad, I started to get very frustrated with him. Because he's not telling me how can I actually practically implement these things into my life so that they'll work for me. And I remember I just started to, in my spirit, in my head, just shout at him, but what do I do? That's what I was shouting at him, but what do I do? And right as I was shouting this at him, he put this chart up on a projector screen. And it was defeated Christian living versus victorious Christian living. And it was put in terms of grace versus law, because by grace we can live in victory. And by law, we'll live in defeat. And I saw when he put this chart up there, I began to read it and examine how I was living. And I saw that the defeated Christian living, living under law, was all about what I do. It's all about trying to win the victory through my efforts, Bible reading, prayer, going to church. It's all about trying to earn God's help through my efforts, all those things again, those spiritual disciplines. And on the grace side, it's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I just saw that I was on the law side of things. I was not living by grace. And tears just began to come down my eyes because I saw that I was not relying on my Savior. I wasn't relying on Jesus and what He'd done for me. I was relying on all these things that what I do. And the Holy Spirit just totally put it together that way because here I was yelling at Pastor Mike, but what do I do? And now here's this chart that tells me that that's my problem because I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do instead of relying on what Jesus had done for me. And so I just saw that I was under law. I examined my beliefs, my outlook, the things I'd been trying in terms of this chart, and saw that I was under law. And then he began to teach on Romans 7, 1 through 4, where the Apostle Paul talks about how we're dead to the law by the body of Christ. And now we've been married to another, Jesus Christ. And through our marriage to Jesus Christ, we can bear fruit. And within that teaching, he told me something I never heard before, that if we try to be justified by the law, try to be righteous by the law, or overcome sin by the law, that we're committing adultery against Jesus. Because it's through our union with Christ that we can bear fruit, not through the law. And he talked about how the law was never meant for the purpose of bringing victory in our life. Law was meant to expose our sin. And he even talked about, it was totally one of those instances where the Holy Spirit is just speaking directly to you. He talked about how maybe there's someone out there with a secret sin, something that, you know, you've been struggling with, and it's going to come to light, and you're going to have to repent of it. And he just put such conviction on me, not him, but the Holy Spirit just speaking directly to my heart. And as he's telling me about how trying to live by the law is adultery against Christ, tears were just running down my face because I realized I left my first love. It was Jesus who saved me. It was the cross that delivered me. God opened up the truth of the gospel to me in the beginning, and that's what gave me that first initial freedom. But then I began to rely on all these other things besides Jesus to try to win the victory. And I was ashamed that I'd ever been so foolish to try to win the victory through anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then he started to talk about something else I'd never heard before that was really eye-opening to me. Because I'd heard about the problems with living under law. You read the book of Galatians, you read Paul's letters, you're not supposed to be living under law. But I'm always thinking about that in terms of the law of Moses, about circumcision and feast keeping and things like that. And I never really understood how it applied to the Ten Commandments. But he started to talk about how we can make anything into a law. And if we try to be righteous or try to have victory over sin or try to earn anything from God, through the keeping of those laws that we made up for ourselves, it was no different than if we put ourselves under the law of Moses. Because the point was, we're not relying on the grace of God. Now we're relying on these rules and routines. And he talked about how even good things that we should be doing, like Bible reading and prayer, worship, praise, going to church, how we can turn those things into a law if we make them the object of our faith. Do those things, but keep Jesus Christ and Him crucified the object of your faith. Don't look to those things for victory. Look to Jesus for victory. And then the other big important thing I remember that he talked about was how to walk in the Spirit. And my basic belief of how to walk in the Spirit was just doing spiritual things. Get my mind off of things that are pleasing to the flesh. Get in my Bible, prayer, praise, worship, church attendance. And then I'm walking in the Spirit and I can have victory over the flesh. But he quoted Colossians 2:6 as the answer of what it actually means of how to walk in the Spirit. And Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And it just instantly struck me when he quoted Colossians 2:6 as an answer of how to walk in the Spirit, that it was telling me that I walk in the Spirit the same way I received the Spirit. Even though it was speaking of Christ, it was the same answer, whether it's walking in the Spirit or walking in Christ. It's the same answer. It's as I have received. And he connected it with Galatians 3, 2 through 3, where Paul asked the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having received the Spirit by the hearing of faith, are you now made perfect by the works of the law? And I just saw there's this connection here where on one side you have grace and faith, and on the other side you have the works of the law. And you have to continue in grace and faith to be continuing in the Spirit. We don't begin by grace and faith and then be perfected by the works of the law, which now I understand the flesh is talking about trying to have victory, have righteousness through things about myself, through the works of the law. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 talks about not trusting in the flesh, not having confidence in the flesh. And then he lists all the things that he might trust in if he were trusting in the flesh. And they're all about the works of the law. So the flesh, one aspect of it I never understood, is that it's something you can trust in. And what it means is that you're trusting in the works of the law. And really what it means more specifically is that you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you put your faith in anything else, you're now having confidence and trusting in the flesh. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should glory. And that word glory there is also translated boast in some places. So God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. So if I begin to boast, even in something so good as Bible reading, something so good as prayer, or going to church, and I began to boast in that in the sense of, if I keep this rule, I'll win the victory for myself. If I keep this rule, God will owe me His help. I can earn it. Then now I've taken my faith away from Christ. I've taken my rejoicing and boasting away from Christ, and I've begun to boast in the flesh. And so Paul said, having begun in the Spirit, which he said we did by the hearing of faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And he talked about it wasn't by the works of the law. So he's saying, having begun by faith in the cross, are you now made perfect by putting your faith in something else? And the obvious answer is no. And so he's saying, continue in the Spirit. Don't just begin in the Spirit. And if you continue in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I saw, how did I receive Christ? I'm supposed to walk in Him the same way that I received Him. I didn't receive Him just by reading the Bible. I received Him when I trusted in what I read in the Bible, and it caused me to put my faith in Jesus and what He'd done for me. I didn't receive Him by going to church. I received Him by going to church and believing what I'd heard about Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. You see, it wasn't the action of doing these things. It was, these things helped me, they were crucial, but the action of doing these things wasn't how I received, and so that's also not how I walk. The way that I walk is not just by doing these things, but by using them as a tool to point me to faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I just realized, here's another verse telling me what I realized through the chart, that it's not about what I do. It's all about what Jesus has done. The answer you seek is found in the cross. The solution you seek is found in the cross. The answer you seek is found only in the cross. Those are words that God has spoken to my heart since then, and He's spoken to many people over the last couple decades and brought about freedom in their life, telling them that the Holy Spirit works exclusively within the parameters of the finished work of the cross. So when I put my faith away from the finished work of the cross, I hinder the Holy Spirit from being able to work in my life to give me victory, whether it's over pornography addiction or anger or substance abuse, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit can't work to give me the victory when I'm not trusting in the cross. When I first put my faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit had the legal right to come into my life and do a work in me to give me newness of life, to regenerate me, to deliver me from the power of sin. But when I take my faith away from the cross, I'm not walking in the Spirit anymore. I'm not living by grace. I'm not continuing to live and walk in the same manner that I received, which was complete reliance on Jesus and what he's done. And now I'm making the grace of God of none effect unto me. That's from Galatians 5:4. That was the lesson to the Galatians. If you change your object of faith and began to trust in something other than the cross, then you're making the cross and the power of the cross, which could deliver you from sin and which gives you imputed righteousness, you're making that of none effect unto you. So at the end of the service, the pastor had an altar call. And this was just a little small church in a hotel conference room. And this whole message, from the time he put that chart there, I just have tears running down my face because I'm ashamed that I left Jesus. I'm ashamed that I tried to be saved by something other than Jesus. And I don't mean I was trying to get to heaven by these works, but I was trying to be saved from my addiction by something other than Jesus. I was looking to myself. I was looking to rules and routines. I was looking to the flesh. I wasn't looking to my Savior. And I was ashamed of this. And so he had an altar call and he asked for anybody that needed to come and repent of living under law and to return to the grace of God to come up to the altar and say a prayer of repentance with him. And I remember when he gave that altar call, I just rushed right out of the aisle. I never, other than when I was a kid and the whole church did it, I was not about to go answer an altar call. I was not about to go stand in front of a bunch of people I barely knew with tears running down my face. Normally, I wouldn't have even wanted my wife to know that I had something to go repent of. But on that day, the Holy Spirit had just so made it come alive to me, moved upon my heart, showed me what I was doing wrong, showed me where my victory was. So when he made that call, I walked down that aisle, tears running down my face. And I went up there and prayed with him. And he said a prayer from 1 Corinthians 2:2 that says, "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so my prayer of repentance, I was repenting of the pornography, but I had tried that many times. But I was also repenting of trying to overcome through anyone other than my Savior, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I repented of looking for victory or righteousness or anything else anywhere other than in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was my repentance. And I remember the tears. It was not only these tears of shame, but just also tears of joy, because I spent so many years asking God for help, asking him what the truth was. And I knew that through this message, he showed me the truth. He showed me that Jesus was the truth. And I just knew that I found the answer on that day. Of course, Jesus can save. Of course, it's my Savior. It's not myself. It's Jesus. I felt his power when I was first born again. And I just knew he made it come alive to my heart that the cross was enough. And that if I would look to the cross, the Holy Spirit would work in me. He would fight the battle for me. He would give me the victory. Because of course, there's power in Jesus and he lives in me through the Holy Spirit. And so I prayed that prayer that day, and I knew it was going to be the last day that I ever watched pornography. And I remember on the way home, I was just still crying and just had this laugh also. And it was just like this laugh of relief. And just also, I just can't believe it's this simple. My wife asked me, "What's going on?" And I told her, "I can't believe it's this simple. I can't believe it's this easy." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy," I'm misquoting it now, but he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I just was able to give him my burden. When I went up to that altar, I gave him the burden. I was not going to try to fight this addiction anymore. I was going to look to my Savior to give me the victory through what he'd done at the cross. And so at the time I was in law school and I had a lot of opportunity for temptation. I would go to class once or twice a day and the rest of the day I was at home studying. And so that's when a lot of times the temptations would come. And I remember in the past when these temptations would come, I would try to focus on something else. I would try to do something else. And a lot of times it was just like there was this heavy weight on me, this thing that just wouldn't go away. It would always be there. no matter what I did. And so many times in the past, I would just give into it because I wanted it to go away so I could focus on my studies. And so the first time I was tempted after that day on May 8, 2016, I remember I started to feel that weight. I felt that temptation. And I just closed my eyes and I thought to myself, I'm not going to fight this. I'm just going to believe in Jesus and what he's done. I'm going to surrender the battle to him and believe that because of what he's done on the cross, because it's enough, that the Holy Spirit will come and work in me. He will be the one to fight this battle. It'll be him who it talks about in Romans, quickens my mortal body. It'll be him who mortifies the deeds of my body. And so he'll deal with this temptation. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't try to push the thoughts out even. I just rested in this truth that it was finished on the cross. The battle was already won. I wasn't going to fight sin anymore. Instead, I was going to fight the fight of faith, the fight to keep my trust, not in myself, but in Jesus and what he'd done, and the truth that he already won the battle on the cross. He took my pornography addiction on himself, and it was crucified. My pornography addiction, your pornography addiction, was crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary, where Jesus saved you from your temptation. He saved you from your bondage. He delivered you from the power of sin. Even if you've been struggling, even if you've been living in defeat, when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death, and you were crucified with him. And that's the truth I rest in every day for the last 5 years, anytime I'm tempted. My pornography addiction is crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. The old man is crucified with him. And he that is dead, according to Romans 6:7, he that is dead is freed from sin. It's not about what I do. It's about the fact that I've been crucified with him. It's about what he's done. And the fact that by faith, my old man is crucified with him. And so for the last 5 years, as I said, 100% free from pornography. And I've applied this truth of the finished work of the cross to so many other areas of my life. Me and my wife used to have such horrible fights, and I would just get never physical, but I would have these angry outbursts where I would just yell and cuss. One time I remember knocking over a shelf full of stuff in our garage. I would go get in my car and just leave, and just this terrible anger I had in my whole life, but it carried over into my marriage. And I just see when I start to feel that coming up, I know that angry old is crucified with Christ. My victory is in Jesus and what he did on the cross. And instead of fighting this cussing problem, I see it crucified with Christ, and I know that the Spirit will be the one who works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13, see, I've surrendered the battle to Jesus. I look to what he's done and trust in the Holy Spirit to do the work in me that needs to be done. And now I've given up gambling. I've given up drinking. I've given up my old lifestyle. I'm dedicated to church. I'm dedicated to showing other people this truth. And it's not because of me. It's because of the grace of God, which I only have not because I earned it, but because I humbled myself. That can sound prideful, but I just gave up on myself and came back to my first love and put my faith in my Savior, returned to the power of the cross. It's like that old song says, at the cross where I first saw the light. I had gone away from the light and began to go back into the darkness of living after the flesh. But when I came back to the light, I found my place of freedom. And again, it's not sinless perfection, but it is progressive victory. Before, I had repeated failure, but now I have progressive victory. And that doesn't mean I watch pornography once a week and then once a month and then once a year. I've put off that entirely, completely. And I put off this other thing completely, and then the Holy Spirit shows me something else, begins to work something else in me to will and to do. And I put that off by the power of the cross. And sometimes I have to go back through a whole process of coming back to the end of myself as it pertains to this particular struggle. But once I can put it there at the cross and lay it down at the feet of Jesus and rely on my Savior, I can walk in victory over it. And so can you. And so I encourage you, if you're addicted to pornography, if you're addicted to cussing, anger, drugs, maybe you have none of those things, but you have a problem with gossiping or just laziness or worldliness. Maybe you're depressed. It doesn't matter what it is. The answer you seek is in the cross. The Holy Spirit will work in your life so long as your faith is exclusively in the cross. But if you move your faith away from the cross and begin to try to defeat these things in your own strength and your own power, or you begin to try to earn God's help through your works, then you're going to make that power of the Spirit of none effect unto you, because you have to walk in it. It's an ongoing requirement. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know a lot of people say there are, but there's no one-time, never-have-a-problem-again experiences. If you want to progress and be conformed into the image of Christ, we have to walk in the Spirit daily. That means daily we walk in the same way we first received the Spirit, which wasn't by my works, it wasn't by my Bible reading. Those things played a role, but ultimately it was by the grace of God through faith in my Savior and what He'd done for me on the cross. So again, this whole channel is dedicated to teaching you the Word of God, which another name for the Word of God is the Gospel. The whole Bible is meant to teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and how you can have victory not only over the penalty of sin, but also over the power of the sin nature through Jesus and what He's done on the cross. The Bible's not meant to point you to yourself. It's not meant to give you instructions to save yourself. No, it gives you instructions to be saved by a Savior. That's the answer to your problem, your Savior, and what He's done for you on the cross. Don't separate Him from the cross. Don't turn Him into a counselor in the sky who's going to tell you how you can do it. Look to Him as Savior, as the one who done it 2,000 years ago on Calvary. So I hope this message, this video, this testimony has been a blessing to you. I'm going to go ahead and end the testimony here. This was a re-recording. I originally recorded my testimony about 3 years ago, and I decided to redo it just because the quality of that video was so poor. And there's also a lot of stuff in it that's not really relevant anymore and that I wished I hadn't put in it. So comment on the video, like it if you think it's something that could help other people, because that will help it get sent to more people on YouTube. And that's the whole point of this. I'm trying to reach those who are out there like I was for 11 years, looking for an answer, looking for the truth. I want to tell you the same thing that Pastor Mike told me 5 years ago. The answer you seek is found in the cross. So God bless you, and be determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified.